This is Everson Griffin, and you are listening to the Wobcast hosted by Wobby.
Hey, hey, welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshall, coming to you from TCO Studios at Winter Park with producer Nate Vaughn. We thank you all for listening. We love having you guys along for the ride, and we're looking forward to the Vikings-Lions game on Sunday. But before we do that, which we're going to do plenty of that coming up with over-under, with three threats, with fan mail. Before we do that, we're going to review some of the things that have happened in the last week or so to your Minnesota Vikings. Unfortunately, as Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer said earlier in the week, this is a rough patch for the Vikings in 2016. A season that started out 5-0 has turned into a 5-2 record for your Minnesota Vikings after two straight losses on the road to Philadelphia and Chicago. So we got to turn that thing around. Of course, the big thing this week was offensive coordinator Norv Turner resigning. Not a very fun day for the Vikings. Another piece of adversity in a season that has had plenty of it, but this team has continued to respond to it in a positive way. That's the one thing that Mike Zimmer has always hung his hat on as head coach of the Vikings, is getting his team to respond to adversity, and they're going to have to do that again now as Norv Turner resigns and Pat Shurmur takes the reins as offensive coordinator. Norv Turner, of course, had been with the Vikings since Mike Zimmer's arrival as head coach in 2014. Norv called all the plays. Zimmer called Norv his right-hand man at a press conference earlier in the week, and in fact got emotional toward the end of that press conference in talking about Norv. So a tough day for a lot of staff in the building, myself included, because Norv was so good to everyone, was a pleasure to have around, a guy who's been in the league for a long time, lots of great stories, lots of great experiences. It was a lot of fun to have him in the building, and we'll truly miss having him around, but now it's time for the Vikings to move on. Part of the reaction to Norv Turner resigning came from NFL Network's Ian Rappaport. We had it on Vikings.com, so in case you missed it, here's what Mr. Rappaport had to say about Norv Turner resigning.
You spoke to Norv Turner yesterday after he departed with the Vikings. What did he have to say? Why did he leave his position as offensive coordinator?
Yeah, so many questions. And when I talked to Norv, he actually was just waking up from a nap because, as he told me, he had not slept in days. That is how heavy this decision was weighing on him. Told me it was the hardest thing he has ever done in his professional career, was walk away from the Vikings. They had struggled, lost the last two games, and obviously the offense was simply not working as the team had hoped. As Norv told me, he did not think that staying on as offensive coordinator would be best for the team. In other words, he did not think he could get it to work, which is a stunning, stunning realization for one of the most respected offensive coordinators in the NFL and really over the last several decades. And I asked him, I said, really, is this really the reason? He said, I'm healthy. I feel good. It is simply, I believe the offense was in better hands of someone else. So it is going to be Pat Shurmur, who now moves from tight ends coach to offensive coordinator. They hope that the familiarity with Sam Bradford leads to more continuity on offense. And the fact that they have had so many injuries, so many different lineup changes, perhaps it's going to be Pat Shurmur who helped this offense function properly amid all of that flux.
For more reaction on Norv's resignation, including hearing from Kyle Rudolph and quarterback Sam Bradford, go to Vikings.com and check all that out. Now, as for what's up next, Pat Shurmur, he assumes duties as offensive coordinator. The Vikings announced that at the same time that they announced that Norv had resigned. Pat has been a coach since 1988, was a head coach with the Cleveland Browns in 2011 and 12, was the interim head coach in Philadelphia last year when the Eagles fired Chip Kelly. He's also been an offensive coordinator in the league with the St. Louis Rams and the Eagles. He's familiar, of course, with Sam Bradford. They were together with the Rams and the Eagles, and together with the Eagles just as recently as last year. And of course, Pat Shurmur's presence on the coaching staff was a big reason why Sam Bradford landed here right before the season began. General manager Rick Spielman called Pat Shurmur the greatest source in the world on Sam Bradford when he was talking to ESPN about the day the Vikings went through the Teddy Bridgewater injury, and then the days after when they were working with the Eagles on a deal for Sam Bradford. Pat Shurmur played an important role in that. So the familiarity that Shurmur has with Bradford effort is something that will help the Vikings in this period of transition, and then the continuity that the staff will have with Norv's son, Scott Turner, still being on staff as quarterback's coach working with Bradford, that will also help in this transitional period. So it'll be interesting to see what this offense looks like with Pat Shurmur now guiding it on Sunday against the Lions. It may not be, you know, what we see from this offense down the road is not necessarily what we're going to see on Sunday. It may be a process, so we have to temper our expectations a little bit. But as Pat Shurmur said himself on Thursday, there may be some things that look a little bit different now with the new offensive coordinator.
How much can you change or tweak, or, you know, you find out on a Wednesday morning that this happens? I mean, do you...
Well, I don't think you totally change what we're doing offensively. You know, I think there's certain things that may look different. You'll have to tell me after the game. But I think what we need to do, we need to coach better. We need to play better. And if everybody on the field and everybody involved with the offense makes one less mistake, then we give ourselves the best chance to win. I think the biggest thing is we've got to keep our eye on the ball. We've got to put a plan together. Initially here, we've got to put a plan together to go out and perform well against Detroit. And the guys, we've been working, you know, obviously, behind the scenes to get that done. And so that's the task right now, is to get the guys ready to go, try to put them in the best position possible, and then go out and have a good performance. Coming home will help us, and I think the focus has been good, and the guys are getting themselves ready to play.
All right, so with all of that tumult, there still is a game on Sunday. The Lions are coming here, and they're coming here to play a game, and they're coming here looking to win because they had won three straight, but then they went to Houston and they lost a game, so they want to get back on the winning track. And the Vikings are going through some turmoil, but there are reasons for optimism, and we have three of them. Number one, the Vikings defense still remains dominant. Yes, they gave up 20 points to the Bears. A lot of times, though, you can win a game only giving up 20 points. And as Mike Zimmer pointed out earlier in the week as well, there were a few big plays that the Vikings gave up in that game, including a 60-some yard run to Jordan Howard, that if they could correct a couple of those mistakes, those numbers wouldn't be as gaudy. The Vikings still number one in points allowed per game, 14.9, and number two in total defense, just 0.1 yards behind number one, Arizona, in total defense. So this defense still very good and is a reason for optimism. Number two, Sam Bradford, going back inside. Sam Bradford has an outstanding record, overall win-loss, 3-0, but on individual performance, he's been very good inside. A 72% passer with a 5-0 touchdown-to-interception ratio, a passer rating of 114.6, and a perfect record in home games as the Vikings starter. So the Vikings go back home, another reason to be optimistic about the Vikings' chances on Sunday. And third, the kicking game is strong. Blair Walsh is 11-for-11 since his last missed kick. That's four consecutive field goals made and seven consecutive point after touchdown tries since his last miss. So right now, Blair Walsh is on a roll. Jeff Locke ranks fourth in the NFL with 18 punts inside the 20. Locke and the Vikings punt team have allowed only 89 punt return yards all season. 14 times the opposition has been forced into a fair catch. Only 11 returns allowed by Locke and the punt team. So in a division game and a game in which the Vikings are looking to get back to playing complementary football, it's important to have a strong special teams group. A big part of the strong special teams group is the kicking game. And right now that's going in the right direction for your Vikings. When the kicking game is poor, it's easy to see, and we all point it out. So when things are going well with the kicking game, we owe it to ourselves, but also to the guys playing, to praise them for that. So those are your three reasons for optimism. Defense remains dominant. Bradford going back inside in the kicking game is strong.
All right, Wabi, the question of the week has to do with that first point, the defense remaining strong.
Mm-hmm.
Big part of the defense being strong so far this year has been the ability to basically shut down number one receivers.
That's what Mike Zimmer does.
That's what Xavier Rhodes has done well so far this year. You saw even last week, Alshon Jeffrey's touchdown came when Xavier Rhodes was injured on the sidelines for a handful of plays.
That's right.
One guy that Xavier Rhodes won't have to worry about anymore, though, is Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a little concerned about Xavier.
Like he won't know what to do?
Yeah, he's going to look lost
he's
out there.
He's going to see the Detroit Lions in front of him, but he's no like, 81.
Where's 81? I don't see him out here, guys.
Yeah. Anyway, question of the week has to do with Calvin Johnson. What will it be like to play the Lions when they don't have him? We already know Xavier might be a little confused. That probably shouldn't take long for him to figure out what to do.
Yeah, but it'll be a good confusion for him, too.
So what will the Lions look like as an opponent for the Vikings, sans number 81?
Well, first of all, I want to start this out by saying, you know, Calvin's doing all right for himself in retirement. He's on Dancing with the Stars right now.
Is that right?
Do you watch that show?
I don't. Maybe I do. I should.
I watch the show for a variety of reasons. You know, my wife loves it. And it's just, you know, there's lots of pretty girls on the show. And lots of former pro athletes, so I know, you know, I know a lot of the stars because they like to choose athletes, Olympians, pro football players, whatever. It's got a lot of energy, and so yeah. You know, and my
and
wife
he's doing pretty well.
You know, yeah, he is, and my wife loves it. And I'm not, you know, you pick your battles, like yeah. with like whoever you're living with, and you know, like some people want to watch some shows, some people want to watch others. Sometimes. That's one I'm just not going to pick that battle. I'm going to watch that show, you know? Yeah, and he's doing all right. He's still going, I think. So first of all, good job, Calvin Johnson. Great career, and loved watching you play against every team but ours, but we had to play against you twice a year, so we're glad you're gone, and we're glad you're doing well in retirement. Yeah, the Vikings saw Calvin Johnson twice a year, for the most part, every year of his career, 2007 to 2015. Of course, Megatron was a dominant receiver. Easy to say among the top five receivers every year that he played, pretty much.
Basically.
I would say that, right? You know, some years he was number one. Some years maybe he was number five or something like that. But most years he was in between there. And so what's interesting, though, is, you know, the Vikings did a pretty good job against Calvin Johnson. They played him twice a year from 07 to 15, and he only had 2 100-yard receiving games in his career against the Vikings, which I thought was pretty interesting. And so, you know, I broke up, like, he had 6 100-yard games against the Bears, 6 against the Packers, and only 2 against us.
And a lot of that was before Zimmer even got here.
And it was. That's true. In fact, both of them were, I believe. The Packers gave up 1,400 yards to him. The Bears gave up 1,480 yards to him. The Vikings gave up just over 1,000. You know, so, and the Vikings gave up 9 touchdowns to him. The Bears and Packers were both in double digits. So the Vikings did a pretty good job against Calvin Johnson, but it's relatively speaking, because Calvin still had really good numbers, against all teams and against the Vikings. He averaged over 5 catches a game against the Vikings and almost 70 yards against the Vikings. So those are Hall of Fame type numbers. Will he be there one day? I don't know. He might be. He's certainly going to be considered. So, the Vikings, though, did do the best job of any NFC North team against Calvin Johnson. Also, a cool comparison, Calvin Johnson and Adrian Peterson. They came into the NFL in the same year, 2007. And, you know, Adrian's not done playing, we hope. Calvin is. But if you look at him right now, Adrian played in 120 games, and Calvin Johnson played in 136. And so, you know, what are their total numbers? Well, they're each at 11,500 yards. Adrian, 11,725. Calvin Johnson, 11,619. 100-yard games. Adrian, 49. Calvin, 46. Touchdowns. Adrian, 97. Calvin, 83. So really similar numbers by two guys who were superstars and came in at the same time in the same division. Kind of an interesting comparison to draw there. Now, Calvin is gone. That doesn't make this offense any easier to defend. We're going to get into more of this later, but Matthew Stafford is having a career year. And now instead of, you know, just Calvin Johnson to worry about, you have to worry about Marvin Jones, who's had a 200-yard game, and Golden Tate, who's also been over 100 yards this season and is a really good player. So no more Calvin Johnson, which is good for the Vikings' chances of winning, which is also a bummer for those who love to see good football because he was really good at it. That's a notable part of this matchup. The Calvin Johnson era is gone in Detroit, and this is the first time the Vikings will see the Lions without Megatron.
That'll bring us back to the guy who would have been defending him, mm-hmm. Xavier Rhodes. He's actually our player we should be talking about this week. Why should we be talking about Xavier?
Yeah, we should. Key component to what the Vikings have been able to do to teams in terms of passing defense and neutralizing number one wide receivers. Of course, he draws the tough assignment every week. Odell Beckham Jr., DeAndre Hopkins, Jordy Nelson. So, you know, the list goes on. And Xavier's having a really good season. He has 2 interceptions. And he leads us in pass breakups with 9. That includes 3 that he had the other night against Alshon Jeffrey and the Bears. And, of course, you mentioned, Nate, very astutely that Alshon Jeffrey's touchdown came right after Xavier was forced from the game. Now, Xavier did return, but he was out for a little bit, and that's when Alshon Jeffrey scored. So Xavier Rhodes having a great season, and I think he fits this category this week because the Vikings did not have a great performance on Monday night against the Bears, and even the defense gave up a few big plays, but the defense is still playing well, and Xavier Rhodes is one big reason why.
All right. With that, we'll move on to fan mail. We've got a couple questions here. The first one is from Luke. Right. He said, is there anything the Vikings can do to improve the offensive line or the offense as a whole now after the trade deadline?
Yeah. The guys that we have to play better, you know, and the offensive line has taken a lot of criticism, and I'm sure some of it's warranted, and of course some of it has probably gone too far. But listen, Mike Zimmer actually said something really interesting on Thursday. He was asked about TJ Clemmings, you know, and Mike Zimmer said, you know, the one thing that I love the most about TJ Clemmings is he's a fighter and he competes. He doesn't miss practice. He's out here every day. He might have a bad play or two or three in a game, but it doesn't affect his desire or his competitiveness. He comes back to battle every single time. And I think that's the persona that the Vikings offensive line is trying to take or has taken, and it is the persona it will need to take the rest of the way because there are no reinforcements coming. You know, good offensive line, you don't just go down the street to the good offensive lineman tree and pick one off. You know, like, this is the group you have, and this group is capable of playing well. We weren't complaining about them in the first 5 games of the season when we were 5-0. So, and it's the same guys for the most part. This group of guys, I think they're going to come together, and hopefully they can rebound as a group against the Lions, and that will be the start of a really good stretch of play for them. But these guys can play better than they've played the last 2 weeks, and I think they will, and I think it'll help the offense improve.
Nan from Bangkok, Thailand.
Yes.
An international question.
Mm-hmm.
Nan says, it's difficult to swallow our second loss of the season. We seem to be unstoppable when we are 5-0, like you sort of alluded to just then. And now we have suffered 2 losses in a row. What has gone wrong? As a longtime Vikings fan, I have learned to deal with a few disappointments through the years. I hope we can get back on track as our next opponents are not getting any easier, especially when Dallas comes to town on December 1st. Best regards, Nan.
Oh, that's a nice email. Very polite.
It is.
Nan is right. You know, something's different with the way the team has played the last 2 weeks. It's resulted in 2 losses. And to me, you know, the one thing that we talked about after the first 5 wins that we were not talking about after the first 2 losses was complementary football. And, you know, we saw when one phase of the team was down, the others were picking it up. And that just hasn't happened to the extent it needed to happen the last 2 weeks. The defense has played pretty well throughout, but they got off sync a little bit the last 2 weeks, and I think that's going to change on Sunday against Detroit. And it's not a slam on Detroit. It's, I think, coming back home and playing is going to help the offense, which is going to help the complementary football side of things. The kicking game, as we said earlier, remains strong. I think the Vikings are going to be able to use the home field advantage to their advantage, and I think they're going to win the field position battle, and I think they're going to be able to protect the passer and protect the ball a lot better on offense. So to me, what's been missing is complementary football. I think that will return against the Lions, and hopefully that will start another 5-game winning streak.
3 threats. Threat number 1, like you mentioned earlier, Matthew Stafford.
Yep. He led 3 consecutive come-from-behind wins with game-winning drives in the fourth quarter in weeks 5, 6, and 7. Matthew Stafford is having a career year, and it's resulting in team success, as I mentioned, with those 3 come-from-behind wins, but it's also resulting in just good individual numbers for Matthew Stafford. He has top 10 rankings in passer rating and completion percentage, where he's 4th, in touchdown passes, where he's 5th, total completions, where he's 7th, yards, 8th, yards per attempt, 9th. He's doing all of that, and it's not because of volume of throws, which has kind of been his road to success in the past. He I think he's 11th in total pass attempts. So he's not up. He's not throwing the ball, you know, 45 times a game and accumulating these gaudy statistics. He's doing it in quality and in efficient fashion. So he's having a career year playing at a high level, and so he's going to be a big challenge and threat for the Vikings on Sunday.
One target that Stafford has had coming out of the backfield, not the past few weeks because he's been injured, but rumor has it he'll be back, is Theo Riddick.
Yep. Theo Riddick is a true dual threat, and here's a stat that will illustrate that. Theo Riddick is the Lions' leading rusher, but he has more receiving yards than rushing yards.
Wow.
So their leading receiver is Golden Tate. I think he's got 37 catches, and Theo Riddick has 34. So Theo's only three or four catches behind the leading receiver on the team. So true dual threat. The reason I think that's relevant, Nate, in this game is, you know, Jordan Howard, the Bears running back, kind of beat us both ways, rushing and receiving. He had four catches on four targets, which is not a super gaudy number, but it's still pretty solid. And then he had 26 carries. And he had over 200 yards of total offense and a touchdown. So dual running back, dual threat running back got us last week, and we got another one coming to town this week.
Finally, pass rusher that we always have to think about when we play the Lions, Ziggy Ansah.
Yes. Limited in practice this week to some extent because of an ankle injury, I believe. But if he plays, look out. The guy had 14.5 sacks last year. That included two against us. He had 2.5 in one game against us in 2014. Now, he has zero this year, but he's only played in 5 of 8 games, and he's been dealing with an injury. If he is healthy and if he does play, he's a threat on their defense. Of course, we've had trouble protecting the passer with 11 sacks allowed in the last two games. Ziggy Ansah definitely will have noticed that. And if he plays, he'll be looking to take advantage of that. So the Vikings have to be ready for it.
Time for a few over-unders to wrap up the Wobcast. The first over-under we're going to look at is Jerick McKinnon touches in the game. We think he'll be back. He's been practicing this week after sitting out last week. So I'm sure the Vikings will be very happy to have him back on their side. So if we put the over-under at 12.5 touches, so runs, passes, or whatever else could happen, over-under 12.5, would you take the over or under?
Yeah, direct snaps. We've done that
with
him.
That's right. Yeah,
right?
There
that would
go.
Be a touch. I'm optimistic that he's going to play. See, part of the risk here is that he doesn't play. You know, so he could play and get 10 touches, and then, you know, the under would win. But he could also not play and get 0 touches, so the under wins there too. But even with all that said, I'm going over, because I think if he plays, they're not going to slow. I just don't think it's like we're going to slowly get him back in there. It's like if he's ready to go, he's going to go. So I'm over on this. Mark me down for the over. Jerick McKinnon is a guy that you can use both ways, like the Bears did with Jordan Howard and like the Lions love to do with Theo Riddick. I think that that's the type of player that Jerick McKinnon can be, and it won't surprise me if new offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur wants to start working toward that end, and so I'm over on this.
One guy that's going to be happy to be coming home probably is Sam Bradford.
Yes.
Performing much better at home than on the road so far this year. So if we put over-under for Bradford touchdowns, passing or rushing? Or again, whatever else could happen. If we put the over-under at 1.5, which would you take?
I'm taking over because I think Rudy and Diggs are both getting a touchdown.
That would be two.
So that'll
more
be two.
One and a half.
Yep, so I'm over on this. Nate, you and I talked about it. We mentioned it earlier in the Wobcast. Sam Bradford's numbers at U.S. Bank Stadium are off the charts. 72% passer. I think he's got 600-some yards in 3 games, 5 touchdowns. I think he's going to have at least 7 when this game is over, so put me on the over.
Finally, sacks on Matthew Stafford for the Minnesota Vikings. If you look back at the second game last year, I think we had 8 sacks when we were at Detroit. The first game was not quite that, but we still got to him quite a few times. So if we put the over-under at what would be a meager 2.5 sacks compared to the 8 from last year, if we put 2.5, would you take over or under?
I love the Vikings matchup with our defensive line against the Lions' offensive line. The Vikings, as a defensive line, have 18 sacks, which leads the NFL. So I'm over on this. The matchup is good, and they're at home, and I think that's a key part of this. You have the home crowd that's hopefully going to be loud, which is going to maybe force the Lions to be on a silent count. But either way, even if it doesn't, is going to help the Vikings defensive line. So I'm over. I'm feeling quite generous and over under today with 3 overs on 3 guesses. But this is one maybe I feel the best about, is over 2.5 sacks.
All right. That's it.
Okay. this Wobcast is over. So thanks everyone for listening. A lot of you are listening and we really appreciate that. And if you've listened all the way to the end of a podcast, it means you're super, super dedicated and committed. So we're very appreciative of that. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. Vikings and Lions, they play on Sunday at U.S. Bank Stadium. Kickoff is at noon. Make sure you catch the game on the Vikings Radio Network. Paul Allen, Pete Bursich, Greg Coleman, and Ben Lieber will have the call. If you're not here locally and you don't get the game on your television because Fox is carrying a different game, make sure you stay tuned to my Twitter account, at Wobby, or KFan's Twitter account for a link that will allow you to listen to the Vikings Radio Network's broadcast. So make sure you pay attention to Twitter on game day morning. If you're a listener of the Wobcast but you're out of our market, that's going to be your best chance to listen to PA call the game. All right, that's it for this edition of the Wobcast. We're going to be back next week, so please don't miss it. Until then, have a great weekend.